greetings and welcome to another edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, the official podcast, the Facebook community Football Addicts. My name is William, and joining me is Bakes. How's things?
Mate, I'm very well, William. Apologies to our 350,000 fans in that we were away last week. Pretty busy week. With the end of year, William had the end of school term, which makes it really tough. And yeah, just generally very, very busy. So we weren't able to get to the mic last week, but we're back this week. And I'm glad you asked how I am, because I'm sitting on 78 points this week. How'd you go?
Oh, no one near that. I can't even remember. I don't know. It's, sorry, 60 points. Did I take a hit? I don't think I did take a hit.
But I remember. 60 points, that's still well above average. Average was 51. Which I thought was quite low.
A lot of highly owned players didn't get returns this week. So 51, was a bit lower than in previous weeks. Who, you said you scored 78. Who were some of the players that you had that came through?
Yeah, obviously I've retained Mahrez and Vardy, and they did the typical duo act against Chelsea, assisting and scoring. Mahrez, you know, 3 bonus points. Vardy with 2. And I think Murray's ended up with 13 from memory. So despite my gut feeling saying that I've got to shed one of them, they just continue to roll on against quality opposition. And I actually caught a lot of that game, and Chelsea were trying. There's no way that they were rolling over.
Yeah, the expected goals that Chelsea should have won, they dominated for large parts of the game.
Yeah, so they're obviously stars. Lukaku, I should have captained. He got 9. I vice-captained him. I actually brought in Giroud for Aguero, and he scored. And I captained him based on his great midweek form, where he scored a triple.
That's a good captain pick. Well done. That's good.
Yeah, I just need to take a few risks because I'm languishing. Yeah. But he got me 12, so I would have done better, obviously, with Mahrez, Lukaku. Butland was a star yet again with 11. Dyer was on the scoreboard, so he got 7.
He's the one, yeah, I knew there was going to be a player in there. Dyer, yep, that's right.
Yeah, Bellerin and Ozil got a clean sheet. Ozil got an assist. You know, Silva and Mane were my only, and Coleman were my only non-scorers. I mean, Coleman should have got an assist or two, but Lukaku was a bit wasteful. And I even had a great sort of bench. Like, I had Dawson on the bench who scored, so he ended up with 7 points as well. So, could have done a little bit better. I left a few points out there, but pretty happy with 78. I've got to see a green this week, or up in every single league. Yeah. So, very happy. It was the week I was after.
Yeah, that's good. That's a solid week. 78 points, the average of 51. That's fantastic. So it was interesting. I was listening to the players that you mentioned. I was trying to see the differences between my team and your team. So, yeah, the main one was Giroud. I don't have him. I have Kane instead. And you have Eric Dyer, and my differential for that one would be Danny Rose. So it's interesting. It's just like those two little differences can make a big difference to a game. I captained Kane, which was pretty annoying. So
Dyer for me, it was out of Dyer and Alderweireld, and it's really hurt me all season. So it was good to see Dyer come in and grab a goal, because I've just seen Alderweireld being the pick, and really it was a toss of a coin. And the only reason I went with Dyer was because he was playing further up the pitch, out of position. I just knew that he scored a couple last year with his head, and it's just been killing me, that one. So good to get a return on that. And, mate, Harry Kane, I was petrified of him heading into the weekend. And he didn't get on the score sheet. So I do feel sorry for you on that one, because I thought, to tell you the truth, I thought he was probably the obvious captain on the weekend. You know, Spurs at home against Newcastle. I think a lot of people got burnt by Harry.
What was I? I was lucky, I guess. I was ranked, I think it was 115K. Actually, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I was ranked 45K. And I'm thinking, oh, cool, you know, I'll go into Christmas in the top 50,000. That's nice. But I'm down now at 125K, which isn't a complete disaster. But, I mean, I haven't got any really good captain. Well, I think the only captain choice that I've had recently was, I think it might have been Lukaku when he scored a goal against Bournemouth. But apart from that, I haven't got any captains. for the past few weeks. So the fact that I haven't plummeted, I guess I could say, isn't a disaster. But yeah, this game week I went for the safe choice. Last week I went with Mane, a bit of a risk that didn't come off.
But me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's right. And I watched the full Spurs game, and Kane was really interesting. He played a really withdrawn role, and Dele Alli was almost playing, at the head of the main point striker, which was really interesting. And I looked at the stats, and Kane didn't get any touches in the box. He had no shots in the box, so that's a bit of a worry. I just sort of hope, whether that was a tactical thing by Pochettino, I hope that it is sort of a temporary tactical switch, because obviously it's not working, because they haven't got the results recently. I mean, they lost to Newcastle. Newcastle, statistically, probably the worst team, or one of the worst teams in the competition, and they were pretty well utterly outplayed in the second half by them. So I really hope Pochettino sort of makes Kane that striker again. So, yeah, that's a bit disappointing. So, another red arrow for me, Mane, yeah, did nothing again. He's dead in my eyes. He's just so frustrating. You know, he boasts such terrific underlying stats. I think in the last four game weeks, he has 8 shots on target, and he's just, he's got no returns. He's gone. And I think you're thinking of getting rid of him as well, aren't you?
I am. I'm in that sort of stage now where I've just hung on to him for so long. I've captained him 3 times in this spell, and he's just got nothing back. And now I'm terrified. I'm terrified that he's going to come out and score 5.
He probably will.
Because in the last, like since round 9, he's gone 2-4-3-2-1-5-2-2. And for a guy who sits just behind the striker in a team that was in form, it's just not good enough return. At that 8 price midfielder, and now he's starting to drop in price, which is killing me. So, you know, he's got all the minutes on the board. He's first picked. Southampton looked flat to me. They look like a team that's gone through a really good patch, and they're just being overtaken by a bunch of those teams like Liverpool, Crystal Palace, even Watford, Everton. All look much sharper, and Spurs and Southampton look like they're really coming off the boil at the moment.
It's just Mane. Like I watched the game against City, and he looked really good. I watched, what was the next game? I can't remember, but he's looked good. Like he's making meaningful runs, and he's playing. You know, he's involved in some significant transitions in their game, but he's just not doing anything. And he's gone. And we're going to talk about potential players that we'll look to get in for Mane. So, cool. So, we'll look at part one. So, we're just going to look at the highest scorers. So, we're going to look at Butland, Neom from Watford, Koscielny from Arsenal, Nathan, I think it's pronounced Ake from Watford, Joel Ward, Philip Bolshade, look at Mahrez, Henderson, Ramsey, Goodbye, Josh King. We'll look at Alex Mitrovic and Lukaku for a bit. So that part one will consist of the highest scorers. We'll look at, we'll have probably a quick chat about captaincy options, and we'll have a quick chat on potential Mane replacements. All right, so let's get started on the goalkeeper. So we're just going to look at one keeper today, looking at Jack Butland. Yeah, it's all about Jackie at the moment. I mean, most managers have this guy. He's definitely been the goalkeeper MVP this year. I'm still a bit worried. We've spoken about this in previous pods. I mean, Stoke is still conceding tons of shots in the box, but I suppose the good thing for them is that they don't actually concede big chances. I think in the last 4 game weeks, they haven't conceded any big chances, which is the best in the league. So it's sort of as if they're letting teams play into the final third, giving them opportunities to take shots, but the shots aren't really taken from meaningful positions. I was looking at the West Ham game, and Stoke, they had an expected goals conceded of 1.2, so they probably should have conceded. I would assume that most of Stoke's games sort of like this. I think Butland made 8 saves, I think, so that's quite a lot. I would still sort of probably be looking to get him in and sort of ride this clean sheet wave.
Yeah, I mean, I've had Butlins from the start, so I'm stoked. For once, I made a good decision on a on a key player, and it's a set and forget. I don't care who he's playing on right now, because I figured that even if he scores a goal, he's going to get some save points.
Mm.
He is a superstar. He'll play for a big club, I reckon.
Mm.
And I think that Stoke are one of the teams, you know, you can lump with Crystal Palace and Watford and Liverpool, that I think are really on the way up. Stoke, you know, they're producing results right now, and they look like they've got their front third worked out, and they look pretty settled team. And Butland, I mean, they are conceding shots in the box, but he's just an exceptional keeper.
Yeah,
so
he is.
I think it'll be really hard when you play. I mean, he's, for me, he's there for the next 6 weeks. When you play your second wild card, that's when you're going to go, well, do I go to Czech or do I go to De Gea or do I just keep him? It's going to be really hard to decide. But, you know, the next 6 weeks I'll make up my mind on that. But at this point, he's fantastic.
He is. I think I'm a bit worried. I think in terms of expected goals conceded, according to Michael Cayley, an analyst, they're seriously overperforming. They have an expected goals conceded of 18.4 goals, but they've only conceded 14. So they should have conceded 4 more goals than they did. If you look at away from home, Stoke have actually conceded the most shots on target out of any team. That's a really alarming statistic. Whereas at home, they rank pretty good. But, you know, but even though they're conceding lots of shots on target away from home, I mean, I would never be scared of playing Butland, because he's going to rack up those save points anyway. They rank the second best team in terms of save percentage away from home, and, you know, if you know anything, this is going to drop. There's just no two ways about it. I mean, but saying, like, when is it going to drop? And we don't know that. Like, we know he's a talented keeper. And they've also got a nice little run of fixtures for the next few weeks, as you said. The next two fixtures aren't too bad. Palace at home, oh, could be tricky, and United at home, well, they can easily get a clean sheet there.
But this is a weird season. I mean, Mahrez and Vardy just keep going, and they should have just dropped off the cliff by now.
Yes, that's right. Statistically, they're overperforming, but they keep performing.
Look at Bournemouth as well. I mean, they're conceding the fifth fewer shots in the box, and still conceding 3 goals a game. I just don't understand some of these stats. It's they defy logic, and there don't seem to be corrections coming through.
I think Bournemouth are going to shore up soon.
Yeah,
I think they're in the way up. But we'll talk about them later. All right, let's move on to defense. So we'll look at Neon. What's his first name? I can't remember. I think he's the right back. He's the right or the left back. I can't remember. But he's from Watford. He scored 12 points. He got an assist in the clean sheet. I have more trust in Watford's defence than Stoke's. I think Watford, statistically, are the fifth best defence in the league. The defence has performed very well this season, and they're definitely worth looking at. I probably wouldn't be getting them in now, because their fixtures are horrible. The next 5 fixtures are hell.
Absolutely. I was looking at Igalo at one point. It's hard not to, but just one look at their fixture list. You know, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, City, Southampton, and then it frees up with Swansea. But it's a terrible fixture list, and I think that I wouldn't really be looking at anyone at Watford at this point. They need to just knuckle down for the next 5 weeks and get through that before you really consider a Watford defender or a Watford attacker, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be getting rid of Igalo, but I wouldn't be getting him in either.
No, cool. Absolutely.
Well, there's next up, Koscielny coming with 8 points. So, yeah, but I think Arsenal performing pretty well. And I think all those teams around them having their own sort of unique implosions. Arsenal sort of keep ticking over, I guess. Most analysts' models are predicting Arsenal are going to win the title this season, and I think this weekend's match is really pivotal in determining sort of, I think, the destiny for the rest of the season, and it's because they're playing City this weekend. I think Sheldon might even be worth the money over Bellerin. He's more of a differential than Bellerin. He gets more bonus than Bellerin. Bellerin's more creative of the two, but Koscielny, he doubles Bellerin's goal threat. So I think considering the bonus and the added goal threat, I'd probably say Koscielny might be worth the cash, but, I mean, then again, every penny is precious, I guess, but I don't know. What do you reckon with about that one?
Yeah, I've got Bellerin, I've had him virtually from the get-go. He hasn't really returned a hell of a lot.
No, he hasn't.
He's on the same points as Koscielny, but Koscielny's been out.
Yeah.
And then come back in. Monreal's actually got the most points in the Arsenal defence, and Monreal's had a good month or so.
Yeah.
Just in general play, he seems to be making the highlight reel a lot more than Bellerin. I wouldn't worry about anyone else for defenders. So I think Mertesacker, Gabriel, are too risky. But Bellerin, Koscielny, Monreal, it's a hard one. Koscielny's obviously the quality player. Bellerin's up and coming. And Monreal might be shipped off in January, I hear. So I definitely wouldn't pick him. So, yeah, it's a good call. Bellerin's at 5.9, Koscielny's at 6. So.
Oh, I didn't realise they were so close. Well, yeah, I think Koscielny's a great shout then. I think there's a post on Fantasy Football Scout today, and a post by the name of Cavalli made a really simple program, and he imported 34 FPL squads from really experienced FPL players, and Bellerin, from those 34 teams, Bellerin has a 53% ownership. So, and I would imagine that in the top 10,000, Bellerin's ownership will be really, really high as well. So I think Koscielny is a really good differential over him. And we're getting to the point in the season where we really need to sort of start looking at differentials. All right, so let's move on to Nathan Ake. Same with Neom. Yeah, don't get him in because of the fixtures. So, yeah, playing, Watford are playing well, you know, they're defensively quite organised, but their fixtures... For the fixtures just go downhill soon. All right, move on to Joel Ward from Palace. So interesting this one. Palace, I think, as well, sort of the similar profile to Stoke in terms of, I think they've overperformed a bit in terms of expected goals. Looking at different models according to Michael Cayley. But if you look at Paul Riley's expected goals against... according to shots on target, they rank pretty good. So I think they have a similar profile to Stoke. In the last four matches, they've conceded a fair chunk of shots from inside the box. I know they have some kind of dynamic where they perform. They seem to perform better away from home, I'm pretty sure. I had a look at some defensive data from home and away, and they do fare a little better away from home. I think this is that Pardew tactics type thing. I mean, they sit back a bit away from a home, and they sort of hit on the counter, whereas at home they tend to take the opposition a bit more and leave that space in the final third for their opposition to play. So I had a quick look away from home. Palace's save percentage is very, very high. It's second best in the league, so this is going to drop. I think they may have been a little lucky in the end, but they don't concede many shots on target away. So again, this is tactics. I think that high save percentage is due to those good tactics. So not conceding many shots. And when they do concede a shot, it's from a good position defensively for Hennessy to save. So similar to Stoke. I mean, I like Palace defence, especially with the good fixtures. And I mean, for me, I've made an effort to bring in like a Liverpool defender and a Tottenham defender, and they haven't kept clean sheets when I should have just been looking at like Crystal Palace or Watford or someone. These mid-ranked teams are keeping clean sheets. So of those mid-ranked teams, I do like Watford, Stoke and Palace. They're the three defences that I like.
Absolutely. I bought in Coleman at a critical point and I regret it. I bought him in, and a week later, Jagielka got smashed. And I think when you take out the defensive leader, like a Jags, it leaves the team open for goals. Now, Everton have gone through and they're racking up the wins and the draws. They've had this dream run of easy fixtures. And they are getting results, but they are getting them through the goals they're scoring, not the goals that they're saving.
Yeah.
They are conceding every game. So Coleman's getting no points for clean sheets, and he's expensive, and I really regret that, and I should have thought about it. Well, I should have maybe reconsidered it once Jags got injured long term. I think you can see that with Liverpool as well. I think Sacco is really key to their defence, and Skrtel's not kind of a strong enough character, and they're conceding goals, Liverpool. So I agree with you. There's so much value in these middle tier teams. It's a really weird year. And the three teams that you've said are performing so well defensively, and they've got attacking threat. I mean, Crystal Palace, why wouldn't you sit back with the speed they've got?
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Yeah,
Bolasie.
Zaha, so quick. Yeah.
Sucko, just so pacey. Their away game is fantastic.
It's tricky. Like, if you've got a player like Joel Ward and they're playing someone like Watford at home, you know, you'd be you're going to play Joel Ward, but even though Ighalo is probably going to score. Whereas if Crystal Palace plays someone like Bournemouth away, you think, oh, well, you know, Bournemouth is scoring, you know, they're scoring goals. You know, Josh King is playing well, Stanislas is playing well. I mean, I've got, and then you might have someone like Moreno from Liverpool who's playing, I don't know, Leicester at home, and think, I'll play Moreno over Joel Ward because Moreno is playing at home. And it's just, it's tricky. Like, I mean, from, you know, from the years that I've played, if you've got these defensive players, the general rule is that you're going to play your home players. But yeah. it's really hard with Crystal Palace. But yeah, I do rate their defence.
It's like the unwritten rule of the EPL is the onus is on the home team to attack.
Yeah.
So this just plays right into, you know, the game plan of some of these middle tier teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Liverpool playing West Brom on the weekend, the onus is on Liverpool to attack, okay?
Mm-hmm.
West Brom are a lower team than Liverpool, no matter where they are on the table. They're perceived as a lower team, and Liverpool has to attack. And what that does is it opens up Liverpool to counter-attack. I think anyone visiting Anfield right now fancies their chances off a set piece, and teams just have to sit back and be patient and wait for a few limited opportunities, be it a corner, a free kick, and then really, you know, it is up to those wing backs in Liverpool to deliver the quality crosses, but they've got to break down the other team, and that's where Crystal Palace is so dangerous. They're so dangerous Crystal Palace did Liverpool. That was a terrible loss just before the international break, just when Klopp was getting some real momentum. But they're such a dangerous team, and it's no wonder that they're more dangerous away from home. But if you have a look at, you know, just on that, if you have a look at Crystal Palace, they've got Stoke away, Bournemouth away, then they've got Swansea at home,
good stuff.
Then Chelsea at home, then Aston Villa away. I mean, you've got to be considering Crystal Palace players in this form.
Just talking about them now, like, I had every intention of bringing in Wijnaldum for Mane, but Bolasie, like, his stats are terrific. And I watched the game that they played on the weekend. Who did they play in the weekend? I can't remember.
Southampton. Played
Southampton.
Southampton,
and
yes.
He was terrific. He was everywhere. I think he had three or four shots on target. His right foot is a rocket. And he should have scored. He got the assist for the goodbye goal, but he was just terrific. I'm really considering him. He's certainly on my watch list.
Mate, he's like a Mane in form, and at 1.5 million cheaper. So
yeah, he's very tempting.
Yeah,
cool.
He, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but he's probably the guy I'm going to get in.
Oh yeah, Bolasie.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's going to be a flip of the coin for me in the end. I don't know who to get. All right, so let's move on to midfielders. So we got Mahrez, 13 points. Not much to say about him. He's essential, I think, now.
He's the best player in the EPL right now.
Best player in the EPL. It was between him, Ozil, or Payet before he's injured. But yeah, he just, his goal against Chelsea, he just completely left Azpilicueta for dead. If you watch it, it's like he shoots before he's supposed to shoot. He dummies. He goes onto his left, I think, and you think, oh, he's going to shoot very soon. Oh, he's already scored.
He dummies twice, and he think it's kind of, he's got to dig it out from under his feet, but he actually strikes with it from under his feet and curls it, and just takes everyone by surprise. It's just sheer brilliance. I mean, the guy is a freak. And he felt like he could have dummied about three or four more times.
It's incredible.
As a Bequelter, he just looks stupid.
He's a good defender. Like he's a good old school fullback, and Mahrez just totally outplayed him. I can't believe Leicester bought this guy from the Le Havre in France for £400,000.
Yeah,
it's just, and the French domestic division is a hotbed for talent at the moment. Yeah, it's just unbelievable what he's doing. He just performing so well. All right, so yeah, he's essential. There is quite a few managers that have gotten rid of Mahrez. You know, they're taking, you know, they're languishing in the doldrums and they're taking risks. You know, Leicester's fixtures have turned and they're getting rid of Mahrez and Vardy, and they just keep performing, and their ownership is so high. There's a guy on Fantasy Football Scout. His name's Granville. He's one of the hosts of the community, very, very sort of influential. He got rid of Mahrez a little while ago, and this game week he was, I think, don't quote me, I could be wrong, he was ranked around 200,000. Now he's ranked like 700,000 or something, just because he hasn't got Mahrez.
Ouch.
That is,
I mean, he's 63.3% ownership.
Of the whole, that's the whole game. That's not like the top half. That's the whole game. That's just insane. Mm.
So he's grown in ownership. But yeah, so I've heard noises that you have to start shedding Leicester players. But, you know, he pulls out moves like that.
Yeah.
And he does the assist, gets 3 bonus points against quality opposition who are struggling, Chelsea, but who were playing well. And what do you do? I mean, he's just the best player in the EPL. Yeah. You've got to have him.
Yeah. Cool. We've on to Jordan Henderson. So we've got 13 points, resident Liverpool fan. I like this guy a lot. What do you think?
All action. Looks a little bit slimmer. So obviously done a lot of work on his fitness.
He did,
all
I
action,
noticed that.
Superhero.
Yeah.
Our captain, I don't think Milner could hand over the captain armband quick enough.
Huh.
He is growing, this guy. He's going to be a legend.
Mm.
And to see him on the scoreboard, see him running around was just fantastic. He's the missing piece. You know, Liverpool should have won that game. There was like 28 shots to 8. It was a joke.
Just conceding 2 shots to set pieces is ridiculous.
Yeah,
Liverpool should have... Oh, of course they should have won.
There was 2 shots on goal from West Brom all game, and they both went in. Mm. So it was awesome. But
yeah, it's
anyway,
that's football for you. Yeah, it's incredible. Mm.
But back to Henderson, you know, he's great. He's going to sit in the double pivot. I think Chan or Lucas will sit next to him. Emre Chan's having a wonderful season.
He's a good player.
I wouldn't sort of pick him for fantasy, but
he's
really growing as a player. And Henderson's going to sit in probably they'll end up in a 4-2-3-1 formation.
Yeah,
but he'll have that Ramsey type role.
Agree more. Yeah, box to box role. Yeah.
Yeah, and Chan will probably sit a bit deeper and break up play.
Mm.
So, yeah, interesting option. I mean, he's sort of, who do you like, Henderson or Ramsey? I mean, Ramsey's the next on the list. Henderson got 13 points, Ramsey got 11, and they had very similar games on the weekend.
Henderson's another one for the watch list for the Mane replacement.
Absolutely, yeah.
So tricky. So Henderson, 4% ownership differential, five shots against West Brom. They're only one from inside the box, but that's fine. I watched the match today, so I can give an eye test, and he looked threatening. He took his goal very well. So moving it, as you said, Ramsey's next on the list. He's also a differential. That goal that he scored was incredible. Ramsey started the play. He successfully tackled. He got possession. He got rid of the ball, and then he ran into the box. Ozil unselfishly played it to him, and Ramsey slotted it home. It was just a typical, perfect box-to-box style play, and this is the position he loves playing in. This is the position Ramsey played him, and Ramsey broke the game in 2013, 2014. So in, yeah. even before he went back into the double pivot because of the Cazorla injury, his shot volume was terrific. The goals were imminent. He was going to start scoring. So yeah, his ownership's very low as well. I think it's around 4%. Could be wrong. I know it's still very low, but Ramsey's ownership's going to skyrocket.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I mean, he's at 3.8%. Henderson's at 4%.
Yeah.
Took the words right out of my mouth. He's in that central box to box role that he loves. I think. I don't know that he's a fantasy option when he's playing on the right out wide. He will score the occasional goal, but he's just so much more threatening as a central midfielder.
Yeah.
Carzola's out long term. The spot's his. It's a toss up between him and Henderson. I actually fancy Ramsey over Henderson.
Yeah, I probably do.
I'm pained to say. I mean, I love Hendo, and I'm glad he's back. But there's 1.6 million difference between him and Ramsey for a good reason. I think Ramsey offers more quality finishing.
Yep, I agree. Cool. Johan Cabaye, he came in with 10 points, so he got the goal and must have got the bonus. So, yeah, probably a no for me. Cabaye's actually really highly owned. The thing that worries me about Cabaye is the fact that Bolasie is a better option. And the other fact is that when Palace scored 5 goals against Newcastle, he didn't get anything. So, yeah, that coupled with the fact he's highly owned, he's not an option. He's a potential replacement for Mane. He's sort of on my watch list. But Bolasie is a better option. Ramsey, Henderson, Wijnaldum, I think, are all better options.
Yep. It is interesting. I mean, I agree. Cabaye's not an option. I think there's more exciting options out there. The thing about Cabaye, though, is he takes the penalties.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that.
So he does get the occasional, and the goal he got on the weekend was just a tap in. But he had to be there, didn't he? So write him off as a double pivot player who takes penalties, but he goes in fits and starts, and he's got plenty of points. He's got 74 points, I think, so far. So he's going well.
Mm. So yeah, I think he's an option. Like, he's not a highly owned player, and he's a guy that, you know, if you want to get a differential, you'd be getting a differential as a differential to him. So, I mean, Bolasie's ownership is quite... I think his ownership is still really low. So, yeah.
Bolasie's 5.8. Yes. Cabaye's 14.
14, yeah. So,
yeah.
Bit of a difference. Cool. And, yeah, so the last midfielder we'll look at is Josh King, 10 points. Sitting on my bench, of course. I was actually tempted to play King over Mane, I had to start Mane. I couldn't not start Mane. You know, I mean, King was playing United. I looked at United's injuries. Smalling was out. I mean, he's the main one. Darmian doesn't mean anything, but Smalling was out. So I was thinking, oh, maybe I should play King. You know, United started to look a bit shitty in the back there. King,
mate, more than shitty. They're shitty. Gone in the back.
They're finished. Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, all the bowling, you know, the pins are down, the balls are just going through. They are turnstiles.
Yeah, so King would have been an inspired choice.
Very inspired.
As you said, like, yeah. Everyone is gone in the Manchester United defence. They're playing the kids. King's a fantastic player, isn't he? He's so dynamic. He has picked up an injury, though, I think. I think he did a hammy.
Yeah, there's a doubt. But how silly do those people look? You know, some of those Bournemouth fans, and they said, Josh King's the worst player to don a Bournemouth, a Cherries strip. He's just playing out of his skin.
Absolutely. His movement's different. Mr. Heartbeat with Callum Wilson going down.
No.
Hasn't dropped anything there.
King's a great fifth midfielder option. With the Christmas rotation coming up, a good bench is imperative. So if you don't have any other fires to put out, and you've got a free transfer, or you've got two free transfers, and you have to use one, and you're still holding on to Gumbies like Sermon or Westwood, I would definitely look to get in either King or Stanislas. Definitely.
Yep.
Cool.
Absolutely.
He's a good option. Moving on to strikers quickly, we're just going to look at Mitrovic. He hasn't started. Mitrovic for Newcastle came on, inspired substitution made a big difference. He hasn't started the last three games, but I think it'd be a safe bet that he will begin starting. But still, he's not an option for me because we've got highly owned players like Lukaku and Vardy killing it. If I think that's differential, that's too risky.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was really considering him at one point earlier in the season as a differential. He's owned by less than 1% of players.
Mm.
And Newcastle had that little run there where Wijnaldum and Mitrovic were scoring plenty of goals. Then they went into a massive hole that they're now starting to dig themselves out of.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Fantastic results. Mm. They did over Liverpool 2 weeks ago, don't forget, as well. So this isn't a flash in the pan. They've got some new steel, and I think Mitrovic will find himself selected again. Newcastle, from memory, have a pretty easy draw. They've got Villa at home, Everton at home, West Brom away, and then they run into a bit of trouble with Arsenal, Manchester United and West Ham. So the next, you want to bring someone in for a game, it's not bad. Not a bad option to bring in a Newcastle player.
Yeah, and very quickly, Lukaku scored again. So, he's a good captaincy option for this week. All right, so let's look at... let's go to Mane replacement. So, who are you thinking? So, you're definitely... You've decided... you've made the decision to get rid of Mane.
Well, I tell you what I'm thinking long-term I want Ramsey. I've got Ozil, but I'm probably going to double up on Arsenal long-term. But they have a couple of tricky games. They've got City, then they've got Southampton, and then they've got Bournemouth, Newcastle at home. So they've got City at home, Southampton away. So there's no... I don't feel a big rush to get in Ramsey, but probably long-term I want him to be my fourth midfielder. So I've got a couple of games so I'm happy to gamble a bit based on the draw. Now I was looking at Bolasie, Coutinho, Wijnaldum, Ramsey, Henderson, Eriksen, Sigurdsson, Arnautovic, and to tell you the truth, I was going to 150% transfer in Eden Hazard this weekend until he bottled it on the weekend and had a hissy fit. So Eden Hazard, there's no way he's coming in because he had two games, Sunderland and Watford at home.
Yeah.
But after you know, throwing his toys out of the cot, he's definitely not getting picked. So that would probably, might even consider Willian or Pedro based on those two games. So I'm looking for a midfielder to gamble on for two games.
I'll tell you my plan. I haven't put in a sort of 3-4 week plan in a couple of seasons. I think last season did a few times. When I, you know, say 3 seasons ago, I was a big fan of making 3 or 4 week plans, and I haven't done that this season. And I did it. I've done it today. I've got a plan. I have a plan up my sleeve. My plan is it's based around fixtures. So that's always a disaster waiting to happen because fixtures don't mean anything this season for some reason. But anyway, that's just the way I roll. I've got going to bring in Wijnaldum. What game week am I in? Game week 17.
17.
Bring in Wijnaldum this week for Mane. So for the Aston Villa game.
Yep.
Everton game, for the West Brom game. Next week, I'll be bringing in... I'll have enough cash... I'll be bringing in Aguero for Harry Kane, because Harry Kane, I've had enough of him now.
Yep.
And that will then... Aguero will have Sunderland at home, Leicester away, Watford away, a whole bunch of good fixtures. And then in game week 19, I think I plan to save. No, I don't. In game week 19, I'll be trading at Wijnaldum for Ramsey. Then Ramsey will have Bournemouth at home and then Newcastle at home.
Ah, oh, mate. We got a similar game plan here.
Oh, you got the same plan. Oh, I've heard it.
I've got a slightly different plan because I don't... my midfielders are all mid-priced. So Ozil at 9... Oh, sorry, Silver at 9.9 is my most expensive midfielder. I'm not carrying KDB. So I've got Lingard who's injured and I'm thinking of actually retaining Mane... and upgrading Lingard to Bolasie.
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm going to put Mane on the bench. So then I've got five fit midfielders should I need. Then I've still got enough money next week to upgrade Giroud to Aguero for the Sunderland game.
I mean, you're getting rid of Mane anyway, so that's good. I don't mind that. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then depending on who's doing what, I'm gonna then downgrade. I can then either upgrade Mane to Ramsey and retain Bolasie.
Yeah.
And then eventually, if I fiddle around, I can downgrade Bolasie to, a 4.5 again. Someone like King.
Yeah.
But I do then get into a little bit of trouble if someone like Sanchez comes in and starts killing it. That's my main problem. If someone like Sanchez becomes irresistible, I can't afford to go up if I have Aguero. So that's what I'm thinking of doing, or I could just bone Mane this week for Bolasie. But I'm pretty keen to have Bolasie. As you said, he reminds me of a fit Mane, and with Crystal Palace's fantastic run over the next 5 weeks, he could actually keep his spot for a few weeks. But basically I want to gamble on someone for 2 weeks, then bring in Ramsey, have Ozil, Ramsey and Aguero and Silva. They're going to be my four big hitters.
That's a good, I like, you've got some really good differentials there. You've got some, lowly owned players. Silva would have shed a lot of owners. Ramsey shed a lot of owners. Yeah. That's good stuff. I like that. Whereas I think it's a good time to sort of start taking some risks now because the template's formed. I've got a really template midfield. I've got KDB, highly owned, Ozil, highly owned, Mahrez, highly owned. Now, my differential in my midfield, I've got Josh King, who's on the bench, and my differential is my third midfield, or Mahrez is my fourth midfield, and my third midfield is my differential. Now, there's all these choices, and you've really got to sort of have a look at the stats, go back and watch some matches and see which players of these are really worth taking a punt on. And there's a lot of options. And I think you're pretty well listed all of them just before. We've got Bolasie, Coutinho, Ramsey, Sigurdsson, Eriksen, Arnautovic, Henderson, Wijnaldum. Now, Wijnaldum doesn't boast any... His stats are terrible in comparison to these other players. Well, his stats are terrible in comparison to Mane. So it's just like, to start off with, you think, well, why are you getting rid of Mane when his stats are so much better? And we've already spoken about why we want to get rid of Mane, because he's just really annoying. Whereas Wijnaldum's stats at home are very, very good. I think he's had, in all of the home games, he's had about 8 shots on target, which ranks very, very well in midfielders overall. Now, this week, Newcastle are playing Aston Villa at home. Aston Villa are probably the worst performing team in the Premier League at the moment. If you have a look at their away defending stats, which I'll just bring up very quickly.
They're going to be horrible.
They're pretty bad. In terms of shots conceded in the box, they're fourth worst. And big chances conceded, it's not too bad. It's still quite poor. So they're quite poor. I mean, Remy Gard doesn't seem to have done a great deal there. They're not playing very well. So I've also got this memories of Wijnaldum and Norwich. Norwich and Villa, sort of half similar teams. I can see Wijnaldum getting some points this week, and I'm even tempted to captain Wijnaldum this weekend as well. So that's my thoughts on Wijnaldum, but I like Ramsey as well. I really, really love Ramsey. Was my choice initially. I'd always planned to get him in when he had come back, and I knew he was playing in that double pivot. So, and then there's Bolasie as well, as you said. They're all just fantastic options. Over the last 4 game weeks, Bolasie's had 7 shots on target. Like that's very, very good.
He's going great. When he's on song, that guy's irresistible. But you have to be prepared to drop him like a stone as soon as he loses a bit of form, because he's
nothing.
A hot and cold player. You know, Coutinho's the same. I mean, he was having a rare patch of form, but he's got injured. He's on his way back. You've got to keep an eye on him. I mean, someone from Liverpool at some stage, if they start clicking, you've got to consider, is it Coutinho? Is it Henderson? I'm not sure. You know, I was trying to save up and I was thinking about Sturridge, having a front line of Lukaku, Sturridge and Aguero. But Sturridge
expensive.
Has gone down again, and, and even if he comes back, I'm completely put off by that guy. He is the second best striker in the EPL, I reckon, but he's just made of styrofoam. Wijnaldum was someone I considered. The only thing putting me off Wijnaldum is that Newcastle then run into Everton, West Brom, Arsenal and Manchester. So if you get an injury, you're kind of stuck with him in a little bit of a tough draw. So that's what worries me. Whereas if you sort of take a chance on Bolasie, he's got five good games coming up. So if you get stuck with him, which I tend to do every time I bring someone in, a disaster strikes, at least I know he can sit there for five games and I'm pretty comfortable with that. Ramsey, again, wait for two games. There's no big hurry to get him in this week against City. Henderson's got a great draw with Liverpool. I think all our home away games are pretty winnable now to the end of the season for Liverpool. So spoke about Liverpool a bit. Eriksen was someone I was keen on bringing in about 3 weeks ago, but he's gone totally cold. And I think it's sort of coincided with the rise of Dele Alli, who seems to be playing in that number 10 and even further forward than the striker. So Eriksen seems to be sort of playing a bit more on the left, which reduces his appeal somewhat in FPL.
Yeah.
Sigurdsson, what do you think of Sigurdsson and Arnautovic?
Yeah, I think with... what was the manager? Well, with Gary Monk gone, I think Sigurdsson's certainly worth looking at. I think Monk got everything wrong. I think he'd always got everything wrong. Swansea were very lucky last season, and I said that at the start of this season, and I stand by that. And I think with him gone, Sigurdsson has the potential to sort of come back into his own and start playing that sort of goal scoring type midfielder role. With a bit of creativity as well.
He looked pretty good against Man City, I thought.
He played very well.
Yeah,
he played very well. I think Swansea as a whole played well. Funny that.
Yep.
I think he's one. And Arnautovic I like as well. I thought about getting Arnautovic in the last two game weeks last season, but I bottled it and I didn't. So, yeah, and he was obviously very good against City. So, yeah, they're both good options. I mean, there's so many good options in the mid-price midfield bracket. It's just a flip of a coin at this stage, I think. You look at the stats, look at the fixtures, watch a few games and sort of make a decision and back yourself and have a plan. We'll see how we go. All right.
I mean, as I said, I was really keen on a Chelsea player just to finish off, just with Hazard. I was definitely going to bring him in. 100%. I was changing my whole game to bring him in, but there's something dire at Chelsea. With him, he got the softest knock and went off with a hip injury. And basically, Mourinho is trying to get him back on the pitch and he just walks off down the tunnel. There's something seriously wrong with Hazard. There's something seriously wrong with Chelsea. And I'm not even keen to even look at Pedro or Willian now, because I just think that there's... That is a septic boil that needs to be lanced. So stay away.
It's a good metaphor. Cool. Yes, definitely. I agree. I wholeheartedly concur. All right, move on to captaincy options. So there's a few. Wijnaldum isn't really on the spectrum at all, but for me, he is.
It's a really... Mate, if that comes off, that is massive.
Very risky.
He tends to do lots of stuff when he has a good game. He tends to do lots of stuff. He scored, three or four goals in one game, and he scores and then he assists, and he's a bit inspired option if that came off.
If it comes off. So, I probably won't do it, but, it's in my mind. So I think Mahrez and Lukaku are probably the two picks. Vardy is there as well. Leicester play Everton. Neither of them do defence. Robert Huth is out as well for Leicester. So I think Lukaku could have a field day. Can't stop scoring. So
yeah.
Who are we thinking about captaining?
I think Costa's due at Costa. Home against Sunderland. I also think Martial is a shout out for Manchester United at home against Norwich. They're under pressure.
Yeah.
He duffed a couple of goals last week, shot wide in really good positions. I just think someone from Manchester United's going to fire, and he looks the guy most likely to me. Apart from that, I like Wijnaldum. Lukaku's got to be the obvious one. He'll be my captain this week. I'm sick of not captaining him and getting burnt. And other than that, I mean, looking at Arsenal, Man City, that's an interesting game because Man City are not travelling well.
No.
They're just lost without company at the back.
Mm.
And Arsenal could really do a number on them.
Mm.
Man City, it's funny, isn't it? You do these podcasts and we were talking at the start of the season, it was Man City and daylight. And now, really, they're coming back into the fold. Couple of injuries and bang.
Yeah, they seem to rely on Silva's, you know, mechanics in the final third and company's steel in the back, and they get a few of those injuries and they look a little bit lost. So,
yeah
I think Ozil's just still a good option. He's a safe option. He'll probably get something.
Yep.
He'll at least get you 5 points. Six points. Ramsey is an option as well. I'll probably end up going Lukaku. I mean, Leicester are going to concede. Lukaku will score. He can't, you know, he can't not score.
Yep. And Leicester were just hanging on against Chelsea. I mean,
yeah.
Chelsea threw everything at them in the went to three at the back, and Costa should have scored. Pedro could have scored. I mean, yeah. I just think that Leicester will concede against Everton.
Yeah, I agree. Cool. All right, guys, that will conclude our episode for this evening. Awesome. All right, that's a good night from me. Thanks for joining me, Bakes. Another good one.
Good luck, buddy.
Cool. Good luck to you, too. We'll talk next week.
Okay, mate.
No worries. Catch up.